Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee at the Center for Science and Culture. If you're new to intelligent design, ID the Future's new series, ID Inquiry, is the place to start. Each year, ID the Future has over 500,000 downloads, and Evolution News and Views receives over 1 million unique visitors. And our visitors bring many questions. In this new podcast series, ID Inquiry, various scientists and scholars will briefly answer these queries and explain the basics of intelligent design. If you have a question you'd like answered, send it to editor@evolutionnews.org. Today we have with us on the show Dr. Michael Behe to discuss the concept of irreducible complexity and how it affects the debate over Darwinism and intelligent design. Dr. Behe is a professor of biological sciences at Lehigh University in Pennsylvania and a senior fellow at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Behe popularized the concept of irreducible complexity in his 1996 book, Darwin's Black Box. In this book, Behe discussed the implications for neo-Darwinism of what he calls irreducibly complex biochemical systems. This groundbreaking work has been recognized as, quote, the bestseller that first put the term intelligent design in the public eye. Darwin's Black Box has been reviewed in over 100 publications, named by National Review and World Magazine as one of the top 100 books of the 20th century, and has sold over 250,000 copies worldwide. Dr. Behe, thank you for being with us and agreeing to answer a few questions.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So to start off our discussion, would you define irreducible complexity?
Sure. Irreducible complexity is a fancy phrase, but it stands for something that's really very simple. It just means that you've got a system or a machine or something that has a number of different parts, and all of the parts are needed for the system to function. If you take away one of the parts or one of them is broken, then it doesn't work anymore. And, you know, that's a bunch of words, but an easy example of an irreducibly complex system from our everyday world that I like to use is a mechanical mousetrap. If you look at a mechanical mousetrap that you might buy in a grocery store or a hardware store or something, it's got a number of different parts. It's got a big wooden base to which everything's attached. It's got a spring with very fancy ends, one that sticks out and pushes against the wooden base, and another one that wraps around another metal part called a hammer, which is actually the part that hits the mouse. And when you push the hammer over, you've got to stabilize it in position while you're waiting for the mouse. And that's the job of something called a holding bar. And the holding bar, the end of the holding bar has to be put into something called a catch to stabilize it. Now, it turns out that the mousetrap needs all of these parts to work. If you take away the holding bar, if you take away the spring or any of the components of the trap, then it simply doesn't work anymore. You need them all working together in order to have the function of the system. The function of the system is to catch the mice. So that's what I mean by irreducibly complex. You should realize that not all complex machines or systems are irreducible. And I guess a good example of one that is not is a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. Now, a Swiss Army knife might have a number of components on the knife. It might have a blade for cutting. It might have little scissors or a corkscrew or other things too. But none of those needs the other thing to work. They work by themselves. So it's complex. It's got a number of different functions, but it's not irreducible in the same sense as the mousetrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mousetrap that is of interest in evolutionary theory.
So why is this concept of irreducible complexity incompatible with neo-Darwinian evolution?
Well, the basic problem was described by Darwin himself in his book On the Origin of Species. He has a section there talking about what he calls organs of extreme perfection and complication. And he talks about the human eye in particular. And at the end of the section, he says that if any organ or such thing could not be produced by numerous successive slight modifications, then his theory would, quote, absolutely break down, mm-hmm. unquote. Of course, he didn't think that was the case, but we know a lot more about biology now than was known in the middle of the 19th century. Darwin always insisted that his was a gradual theory. It had to proceed in tiny steps over long periods of time. Now, the problem with that is that some things, like irreducibly complex systems, can't be put together in tiny steps. If you try to think of how a mousetrap could be put together in, by numerous successive slight modifications, mm-hmm. it's extremely difficult to do. And more than that, it turns out that many biological systems are irreducibly complex in the same sense that the mousetrap is. They need a number of different parts, very well-matched parts, working together to produce the function of the system. Now, if the problem is that if a step doesn't really help, then Darwin's natural selection is not going to kick in. It only kicks in when the system is improved. But if you need a number of steps to improve, then the likelihood of getting all of those things coming together at once drops precipitously. Mm-hmm. And if you do see something like that, you immediately start to suspect that somebody rigged the system. There was purpose behind it. So it is a difficult problem for Darwin.
So natural selection and random mutation are unable to account for the development of irreducibly complex systems.
Yes, that's right. And what might not be apparent to somebody who's new to the field is that biological machines one of the great advances of modern science is to show that the cell and life itself is based on intricate, elegant, sophisticated molecular machines.
Mm-hmm.
They require many, many steps to put them together, or certainly apparently do, and they depend on very many, many details. And to put such things together by numerous successive slight modifications, one tiny step at a time, is very, very difficult to envision, and nobody has been able to do that, and experiments show that it is certainly not easily produced. So again, it's a strong reason to think Darwin's mechanism doesn't work very far. It works for small steps, but it doesn't work when you have to put together sophisticated things that require many parts.
Could you give us an example of one of those machines?
Sure. My favorite is something called the bacterial flagellum.
Mm-hmm.
And it is quite literally an outboard motor that bacteria use to swim. And just like an outboard motor on a boat in our everyday world, it's got a number of different parts. It's got a propeller, just like a boat does. A part, the tail kind of swings around and around to push against the water that the bacterium is in and push the bug forward. And the propeller is attached to the drive shaft, mm-hmm. which is attached to a motor, which turns, and instead of gasoline, it uses a flow of acid from the outside of the cell to the inside of the cell.
Interesting.
To power the turning of it. And just like water flowing over a dam can turn a turbine engine. And the drive shaft pokes up through the membrane of the cell, and there are other parts that act as bushing materials to prevent leaks through the cell membrane. And if you could see a picture of it, I urge listeners to check out a picture of it. People looking at it uniformly realize that this is a machine, a real machine. And I think it encapsulates the intelligent design argument and the argument of irreducible complexity very neatly.
It is fascinating to me that the bacterial flagellum can reach speeds up to 100,000 rotations per minute.
Yeah, it's been called by a prominent scientist who studies it all the time. It's been called the most efficient machine in the universe.
Wow.
Far beyond what we can make these days.
One objection critics raise to irreducible complexity is that parts could be co-opted. What is co-option, and how does it affect the argument for irreducible complexity?
Yes, co-option means that a system that was used for one purpose is somehow dragooned or put to a different purpose. And then evolution doesn't have to go through many steps to build it. It's already built. It's already there. And while this is a common argument, in my view, it's got a number of difficulties. First of all, if you're using it to try to explain where a complex machine like the flagellum got from, you would have to start with something complex already. Hmm. And so it kind of begs the question of where the starting machine came from. If you were saying that you were going to try to explain an automobile, say an automobile with two windshield wipers, and you start with an automobile with one windshield wiper, then your explanation is going to be pretty modest, and it's going to ignore most of the complexity of the system. Another problem is that some people say, with the argument of co-option, that maybe parts that were put to other uses were kind of gathered together into a machine. So maybe something like the flagellum didn't exist before, but maybe some parts of it did. Maybe the parts that acted as the propeller and the motor and so on were drifting around somewhere else in the cell and got together. And that has its own problems. One is this. The outboard motor in our everyday world is put together by intelligent agents. We assemble things and we bolt them together and put in nuts and bolts and things, mm-hmm. and in the correct order, and they have to have the correct shape to fit to each other. Now, the cell has to assemble its own machines, and that means that before anything like an assembly of parts into a machine can occur, the surfaces of the parts have to be adjusted and have to be physically and chemically complementary to each other. But they would not be if they were just floating around the cell, then by definition they would not have already adjusted to each other. Mm. And that turns out to be an extraordinarily difficult problem. It's kind of like saying, suppose you had to put on each component, magnets in the right position, a number of different magnets, so that it wouldn't stick to the wrong components, but mm-hmm. would stick to the right components. And if you're talking about a blind process, a random process, and then natural selection, it turns out you wouldn't expect anything nearly like that to happen in the entire history of the world. Another way of talking about co-option and reusing parts is to think about, say, a mousetrap that's made by Lego blocks. Now, you can use Lego blocks, child's toys there, to make a lot of things, castles and cars and bridges and all sorts of things. Suppose you fancied you wanted to make a mousetrap.
Okay.
Well, okay, you could do that. You would have to assemble all the blocks yourself. But the problem of irreducible complexity would remain. The Lego mousetrap would still not work until all the pieces were put together. Mm-hmm. Even if they could be used to build other machines, you'd still have the problem of there being no function to the mousetrap until all of the pieces were put together. So all of these problems plague the Darwinian evolution of the machinery of the cell and other features of life.
So it sounds like co-option does not refute irreducible complexity.
No, in my rather harsh view, it's not. It's intended mostly to get around the problem rather than deal with the problem. It's circumventing it, not really dealing with it.
It seems that irreducible complexity presents clear evidence for intelligent design. This has been a fascinating discussion, Dr. Behe. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Sure, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you also to our listeners for joining us on ID the Future for ID Inquiry. If you have a question about intelligent design or Darwinian evolution or about any aspect of the debate between the two theories, please send it to us at editor@evolutionnews.org. That's editor@evolutionnews.org. For further learning, read Darwin's Black Box to discover more about irreducibly complex systems. I'm Sarah Chaffee with ID the Future. Thank you for listening.